Welcome to the Hair Boss, Not Hair Loss podcast with me, Nicola Wood. Today I'm joined by the lovely Ashton Telford, a remarkable young woman who has faced the challenges of alopecia universalis, an autoimmune disease that resulted in the loss of all her hair at the age of 17. Ashton didn't let this define her. Instead, she harnessed the power of social media and used TikTok as a platform to raise awareness of alopecia and inspire others. Her upbeat videos, watched by thousands of people worldwide, include tips on wig maintenance to inspiring speeches. Through it all, her message remains the same: be proud of who you are. Today, we delve into Ashton's remarkable story and how she's using social media as a force for good. So, I want to introduce Ashton personally and less formally as somebody I have met through the business. She came to me as a client quite a number of years ago, and yeah, we've remained friendly ever since. She's been a model for me. She's made videos for the business. She has spoken to other clients. She comes up and travels a long, long way to be part of our team quite regularly. She never shuts up, so I knew she'd be a good guest. And welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you, Ashton.
Hi.
So, if you want to start a little bit by introduce yourself, tell us about Ashton.
Yeah, so, hi guys, I'm Ashton Telford. So, I have alopecia universalis, and as Nicola said, that I just want everyone to be proud of who they are, and that's my point I want to get across.
Thank you. You've turned into a bit of a social media sensation. For those of you who are not following your journey yet, tell us a little bit about how you've used social media, what you've been up to on there, like a modern day perspective on it.
Yes, so at the moment I am quite quiet on social media, which is bizarre for me, but my journey's been up and down recently, so I don't know what to post and what not to post. But you should probably see me mostly on the Wonderful Wig Company's page and on the TikToks and on my own Instagram and TikToks. All I really do is just create videos, post loads of random wig things, few speeches of how my journey's gone, what other people can do, some beauty tips and things like that for when you don't have eyebrows or eyelashes, things you can do just to make you feel that little bit more confident.
It's really great, and you make them so fun just because you've got such a nice personality. I think I really enjoy watching yours. I think in this day and age, social media is often sort of criticised, but what I find lovely is your connection with other people. So tell us about the hair loss community online.
So the hair loss community is unbelievable. It is the most supportive community I could ever imagine. When I first lost all my hair, I thought I was the only girl in the world. I never heard of alopecia. I had no clue. And what I started doing is doing a bit of research and found loads of wig companies. I found loads of people in model for wig companies and then went onto their page. And they're just so supportive. Any questions you can just ask, and they're always there to answer. And I just sort of want to do that as what people done for me.
Yeah, so kind of giving back to the community that helped you. Yeah. Let's go back right to the beginning. So you told us that you lost your hair when you were 17.
Yeah.
Tell me how it happened, like when it happened.
So it was August 2020, and I used to bleach my hair. And we just thought my hair was getting quite damaged, so we'd done all the Olaplex and everything like that because it was thinning out. And I was useless at just quickly drying my hair and stuff like that, shoving it up in a bun. So I started saying to my mum, would you dry my hair? She had all the new Dyson stuff and all the nice hairsprays. So I was like, you can start doing it. And then we noticed, well, my boyfriend actually noticed a patch first. And then I sort of hid it. I started doing my own hair in that again. And then I got my mum to start drying my hair again. Then she noticed, and it was only about a 2p size coin on the top of my head. And from then, we thought maybe the bleach has just absolutely knackered my hair now, just thinned it right off. And then we went to my hairdresser and she went, I think it's alopecia. She went, but realistically, there's no point going to the doctors with just one patch. They'll just basically tell you to go away. But within August, September and October, I had basically my whole head was gone by then. Unfortunately for me, all the front of my hair went first rather than any of the back, so I couldn't hide it in any way. So then I did go to the doctors And they did say, yeah, I've got alopecia, but there's nothing we can do about it. Just go. My mum had to argue with it all. And then from then, I braved the shave, because waking up every morning with hair on my bed, on my pillow, frightened to go in the shower, frightened to brush my hair, I just went, I can't do it anymore. So we just write off.
Wow. And how long after you first noticed the patch was it that you took all of the hair off?
So it was August when I first noticed my patch, and I think we took my hair fully off at the end of October. So it was quick.
Yeah. Going back to what you said there about the doctor, and this that you know, this podcast is not to slam the
No,
NHS
definitely
whatsoever,
not.
but it's just to raise awareness about what's out there and how we can improve the experiences that young women are having. I mean, at 17, you were at a really vulnerable time in your life anyway. Your self-confidence, how you look is important. Relationships are important. You were told at your first doctor's appointment that there was nothing you could do.
And my mum said, well, surely it's dermatology who can help. It's skin, it's everything like that, because we didn't really know what it was.
It's a referral.
So then we did go to the dermatologist, and he was unbelievably helpful, like straight to the point, and just went, yeah, we've got this treatment, we've got that treatment, we can do this, we can try this, we can try that. So from my first appointment, I had steroid injections, but by the second appointment, in about a month's time, no hair whatsoever, or eyebrows or eyelashes. So the steroids weren't
Responding.
available to me anymore, because that's just for
Yeah.
areata.
And how long did it take to get the referral from the doctors to the dermatologist? How long did you wait?
I think it was because I was under 18 and I was quite young. I think it got put through a little bit quicker, but I think it was around 2 weeks.
Okay. So, yeah, that is pretty fast, isn't
It
it?
was really, really, really quick.
Okay. Talk to me a little bit about those 4 months of losing your hair. What was your mental health like? Like, how did that affect you? How did that affect your relationships?
So luckily for me, before my hair fell out, I did have my boyfriend, but the fear of me losing my identity, feeling like I've lost my beauty, and my self-confidence went right down. But my confidence boost was him, because he was like, well, you look beautiful. So that made me feel a lot better in myself. It was still mentally hurt. I was still really hurting, because I did have that. I felt like I lost my identity. It was horrendous.
And I know personally you're a gym bunny. You love your CrossFit. You love keeping fit. Did you still go to the gym? What was your social life like? Did you go out much?
So I used to go like out with my friends all the time, going for walks and things like that. So I couldn't really hide it for them. And from where we live, we're all a really close community. So it's something you just can't really hide. So I just came out in the open and told all my friends. I was just like, by the way, I've got alopecia. There's nothing I can do about it. All my hair's gonna go. It might not all go. I'm really confused myself. I don't know when it's gonna stop. And they were all really, really supportive, apart from one hilarious comment of one of the lads who then went, is it contagious? He went, can I touch you like ball patches? And then I went, well, of course you can, like that's fine, because we're a really close friendship group. And then he went, is it contagious before I touch you? I was like, not that I know of, no.
But I think that's the thing, isn't it? Talking like this, it breaks the taboos, because actually some people might think it is contagious. It's so unspoken of that people need to know the
100%.
facts about it, yeah. And good on you for being so open. I do think, like, just being out there about it from the beginning, if you're able to cope with it, is the best way.
I think I knew my friends would always be supportive. I don't think they would have ever just said, oh, I don't want to be friends with her no more, because we were 17, 18 at that time. We grew up a little bit, and everyone was supportive. And with the CrossFit and everything like that, we were a really close community. And it got to the point where I was like, well, everyone's gonna know, and I might as well make it social. I might as well just do a social media on it. Why not?
And I think that's, for me, somebody in my 40s, I think that's such a brave thing to do. It's not, you know, what I find is that ladies who are kind of older generation are very much still very embarrassed, quite ashamed by it, want to hide it. And the younger generation coming up are certainly just a bit more bold about who they are. They don't hide it as much, and I think that's a beautiful thing.
I think now this generation, there's that much that goes on, there's that many different, just everything in general, everyone's a lot more open about everything, and everything is on social media. I'm not saying it's all flowers and daisies on every social media post, because it isn't, unfortunately. You do still get them keyboard warriors, but there's 1,000 comments, but 2 of them are negative. Unfortunately, them 2 stick out more than all the lovely ones, but all you have to do is just block them. I know it hurts, I know it's rubbish, but you just have to block them. And it's easier said than done, and it really is, because it's happened to me, and I didn't want to leave my bed. I didn't want to, my confidence went right up here to right back down off one comment. So,
wow. Tell us, what has been the hardest part of living with the disease that you have? What's the hardest part? What are the struggles?
I think it's the acceptance. But the biggest one was at the very start, when I didn't know what was going to happen, what it was. Was it all my hair going to go? Was it just my eyelashes? Was it just my hair? Was it everything? When it got to the point where everything was gone, the hardest part after that was it grew back, only a little bit, and then it fell out again, and then it grew back again, and then it fell out again. And it's that uncertainty, and it's that false hope, and it's one of those things, because you feel like, oh, I'm wig free, like, it's amazing, wig free, can do what I want. And then it gets to the point where you're like, oh, I just want to tie my hair up, and you can't tie your hair up, or you're on social media and you're looking at all these hairstyles everyone's doing, and you can do a lot of them with the wigs that are around now, with them all the 360 laces, and it's incredible, but it's still just not the same, because you've got that worry, like, is the glue gonna lift while I'm maybe sweating somewhere or something like that. I've always got that fear sometimes when I first started, the wind's just gonna take my wig off here, the wind's just gonna take it right off. And I'm like, I don't know why I'm bothered, because everyone knows, but it's still that fear of, even though everyone knows, it's embarrassing for me, it's scary. But it's got to the point now, it still really upsets me when it falls out again, and it's still really, really hard. And I'm about 60% of accepting it. I've accepted that it's who I am. I've accepted that I can't do anything about it, but I haven't fully accepted that it's happened in a way.
Yeah, that has happened to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just go back to you a minute ago there, and let's break that taboo now. Has your wig ever fell off in the wind?
No. Never.
I don't know a single person whose wig has fell off in the wind.
No,
and it is one of the biggest things that, one of the first things that people say to me is, will it fall off in the wind? And we actually tested it once. I took a client of mine down the beach in an open top car on a windy day. Did you see that video?
Brilliant.
We did that. And I said in the video, I'm just going to prove to you all now that the wig will not come off in the wind, even at like 70 mile an hour on the seafront.
I went on a roller coaster.
Did you?
Flamingo Land.
Did you post that?
I didn't, because I couldn't film it, unfortunately. Because
that would be one to do, wouldn't it?
I know, it would be brilliant. So the first time I went on it, I was like, oh, take it off. And the looks were brilliant. So I was in the queue for ages with this long wig on. And then when I came, everyone's putting like the handbags in the thing. And I just went...
With the wig.
And everyone's like, I was just like, just smiling away as I was going.
Have you ever done that for effect? Have you ever taken it off just to shock someone?
I've done it in the gym yesterday, actually. So I was doing power cleans in the gym yesterday, and I had a really long brown one on. It was just getting in my way. And it's a new gym that I go to now, and there's a few faces that probably, because there's a lot of contractors that go into the gym, so they won't really know. And I looked at my friend and I went, I'm going to take it off. She went, you're going to take it off? I'm like, yeah. And she was like, I'll watch. And I just went like that, and you just seen like a few people go... But that just shows as well how real the look because people just think it's your own
Yeah.
hair, and then when they take it off, they're like,
Yeah.
wait, what? It's a wig. They don't think, ah, oh, well, oh, I knew it was a wig. No one thinks that.
No, not these days,
No,
not these
definitely
days.
not.
I think people have this stereotypical image because they once saw somebody in the supermarket and our wig was, it looked like a wig, and people come in and they'll say, oh, but I don't want it to look like one of those plastic wigs. And you see people and the hair doesn't move. Wiggy,
Wiggy.
yeah, I want a wig, but I don't want it
Wiggy.
to look wiggy. And I say generally, if it looks wiggy, it either not washed, not taken
Yeah.
care of, hasn't been replaced. Like there's a million reasons why it looks wiggy. Wigs don't look wiggy
No,
these days.
definitely not.
Yeah, and again, you're smashing those taboos every time you do a video. So thank you for sharing
No
that.
problem.
So, how have you built your, for anybody else who's thinking of building a community online to support others, tell us how you've gone about building that audience, how much work it involves.
Yeah, so it's difficult thinking of the content, like it's a big struggle, but what you do is you just go on other people's and you copy, just add your own little twist to it, because you're doing it, someone else might have done it, but it's not them, it's you. So that's your own little
Yeah.
twist. Hashtags, hashtag as much as you possibly can, that gets on people's explore pages, for you pages. I know hashtags aren't in trend these days, but you're not doing it for a trend, you're doing it to get it out there and noticed, and just get everyone to share as much as you can, family, friends, friends of family, like just get as many people as you possibly can to just share. Like I don't have a million followers, I wish I did, but I don't, but I only have maybe a couple of thousand, and I went from having maybe 150 to 2,000, and it took time. And it does take time. You're not going to go from just a normal person to a blue tick overnight. That just doesn't happen. It takes time. It takes a lot of hashtags. It takes a lot. But just do it. Just do it. Don't be scared to do it. Don't not do it because someone else has done that video. It's not how it works. You see TikTok, it's the same video 3 times in a row. Everyone just does the same thing. It's a trend. So just carry on with the trends.
Do you find, like, if you're having a bad day and you post a video about your journey, is it kind of like a therapy? Do you get like a relief from that?
So what I used to do, even if I did have a bad day, I would post. And at the minute, if I'm having a bit of a bad day during my journey, I sort of take a step back because I've got such a positive feed. I don't want negatives to go on there. But then I think to myself, well, no, that's my journey. It's not always the high road. There's negatives, and if people think there isn't negatives, then they're daft. But it is like therapy. It's getting it out there. It's not keeping it to yourself, and it's scary putting your vulnerable self online, and it is so scary doing that. But you're only going to get a few negatives. Everyone else is going to support you massively.
What do you, I know we briefly chatted off air before you came on, and I said to you, this is the first time I've seen you with hair, and you were a little bit taken aback because you said that, yeah, you've got it now, but it just started to come out in clumps again this morning. So
Yeah.
I just wanted you to talk through, since you got the official diagnosis of alopecia universalis from the dermatologist, how many years ago now?
2.5.
2.5.
Yeah.
What has your hair loss looked like since then, and what support have you had in terms of funding for wigs and stuff since you got that diagnosis?
So I was fully bald for a very, very long time. I would say 8 to 12 months, and then it started coming, going, coming, going. I've had multiple punch biopsies on my head. They're not as scary as the sound. So if you get offered one, they're really fine. It's a step closer to knowing what's going on in your body. And then once I got the punch biopsy, my hair started growing around it. So obviously the white blood cells were healing rather than attacking. So they just forgot about part of my hair for a little bit. And once again, it was just coming, going, coming, going. In regards to funding and things like that, I got no funding from the NHS. No vouchers or anything like that. I had to do it all on my own.
So for is African, sorry, just to slow down
Yeah.
there. So you were given a diagnosis from a dermatologist that you had an autoimmune disease, which caused full, at this time you have no hair and you weren't entitled to any funding.
No, because what alopecia is classed as is not life-threatening. So even though it affects quality of life majorly, it's not life-threatening, so we don't get the funding. We get treatment, so we get offered steroids, injections, and we get offered UVB, and that's it really. Everything else, you have to pay your prescriptions and do it on your own.
Yeah, I think that does. I mean, so just so we're not giving mixed messages, I think it does change trust to trust.
Yeah.
And where do you live, Ashton?
Lake District.
Yeah, so it does depend on where you live as to how
Yeah.
much help you get.
100%.
But yeah, the treatments also vary depending on criteria for area to area. So in some areas, you might be allowed steroid treatment if you've got 50% hair loss, but once it gets to 60, then you don't qualify. And of course, there has to be some sort of parameter and
Yeah.
guidelines. But just to be clear, you were had no hair and were not entitled to any financial funding.
No, the only thing that I got was an absolute amazing, amazing, amazing company, the Little Princess Trust, and they saved my life. I bought my first wig off someone called Glamorous Butterfly. She's from around the Lake District, and she said to me, she went, "Have you tried the Little Princess Trust?" I said, "Oh, well, I only thought that was for cancer patients. I didn't know it was for all hair loss." As obviously, I didn't actually know alopecia was anything around that. We did some research. I spoke to some amazing people from the Little Princess Trust, and I got myself a beautiful blonde 16-inch wig, and it just looked like my old hair, and it honestly saved me. And they couldn't have been kinder. They couldn't have matched my hair more perfect. They were amazing. And a really, really lovely packaging as well, with a cute little teddy.
Yeah, so we work with the Little Princess Trust all the time. So just for clarity, they're a charity and we'll be doing a lot of podcasts around them coming up as well. So we'll go into depth a bit more about that charity over the course of our podcast. But yeah, we find that a lot that people are not aware of the charity. And quite often, the girls with no funding, we can access their hair through the charity. So I'm not surprised in the least that they helped you and it was amazing. Okay, so again, when we were chatting just before we came on air there, you were saying that things have progressed obviously with your diagnosis and you've since had further diagnosis from the dermatologist. So just tell me a little bit about that for anybody who's listening, who's had changes and they're worried, like, how's that looked for you?
Yeah, so once I had my biopsies, a lot of them came back with nothing. So they had to do more and more and more. And then we finally got a diagnosis that it was hormonal. And what I had to do was go to the GP, get some bloods done. And basically, they checked my hormones, and my hormones were okay. But what is odd is the same time every month, my hair falls out in almost the same places. The same amount for the same amount of time, so it's very much hormonal, and we know it's hormonal because my attitude changes and so does my hair. So another thing was, they then said I need to go see the gynecologist because it was due to hormones. I'm already seeing the gynecologist for other reasons, but it's something that we're still working on currently to try and figure out what's going on, and if it's maybe caused by something else that we could treat it through that rather than alopecia treatment, and that's maybe why the treatments haven't been working. It's all just one big experiment, to be honest.
Yeah. And it's just finding out the right
Yeah.
thing. And I think a lot of people think there is no treatment for alopecia. And again, we're not giving false hope here, but there are some things we can try.
Yeah.
And quite often, the hair loss does have an underlying medical issue. It's something else going in your body. And if we can treat that, then the hair loss is resolved, you know? So things have definitely changed in terms of your diagnosis. So last time you were at the dermatologist was when?
Tuesday.
And what happened at that appointment? Tell us about that.
So that one was, I would say, pretty pointless. It was one basically just checking if I still had alopecia, and then it was sort of, yeah, we'll keep you on the list sort of thing. I have been on a waiting list for a year to go see a hair loss specialist in Manchester, but he's a very busy man, I've heard. So the waiting list can be, it can be up to like 2 or 3 years. You'll be able to get that second opinion. So you might have hair by, I might have hair by the time I actually see him. So
And that's
that's
through
just
the
a second
NHS.
opinion, really. That's for the
Yep.
NHS, yeah. Obviously, you can go private. We've a private doctor for it as well that is available. But the way the NHS have dealt with it all, it is amazing with the treatments they have offered. Unfortunately, both didn't work for me, but it doesn't mean it wouldn't work for someone else.
So when you saw the dermatologist the other day, your diagnosis hasn't changed. You're still diagnosed
No.
as universalis.
Yeah, still alopecia universalis, yeah.
And are you still not entitled to any kind of financial help for a wig, and now not entitled to any kind of further treatment?
Yeah, no, that's correct, yeah.
That's a pretty sad state of affairs, isn't it? How does that make you
Yeah,
feel?
it was very frustrating because the thing I got, which was quite upsetting, was it's all right because you're a bonny lass, like you suit it, and I was like, thank you, but it doesn't take what's happened away. And when obviously he said, but it's not life threatening, I said, but it's your quality of life feels like it's gone. Like sometimes you really don't want to go to social events because your wig hasn't went right and it's not sitting properly. And when your friends are going all to get the hair done, you can't go with them, so you feel quite left out. They're going for maybe a beauty day to get their eyebrows and eyelashes and everything done. You can't go, and it's just like one of those things. You socially, I still go out. I'm really confident. I'm not bothered. Everyone knows what I'm going through. But for other people, I can see why it can be a struggle. And that wording, well, it's okay because you're bonny, you're a good looking lass, doesn't cut it.
Doesn't cut it at all, does it?
No.
And it's not correct in any sentence that you should accept being completely bald because you've got a bonny
Yeah.
face in somebody's
Yeah.
opinion. When I think, again, talking offline, you said that it was suggested to you that your hair loss was cosmetic. Yeah, and that was from the hospital, that was
Yeah,
from an expert.
that was from a dermatologist. So, because there is a tablet available, a medication available, it does have a lot of risk to it. It probably has more side effects than it does benefits. And it was portrayed to me that it was now cosmetic, so I would have to pay for it and it wouldn't be on the NHS. It would just be like your prescription fees, as you would if you went to the doctors and you had a cold or an illness. However, I do think it's quite unfair because I don't think we should be classed as cosmetic when it's not like we've forced our hair to go. It's done within our sides of our body and we cannot do anything about it. Where, say, if you're getting new teeth, that's cosmetic. If you're getting a hair transplant, that's cosmetic. I can understand them because that's something you're choosing to do. Where I haven't chose this, I just want my hair back and I'll try anything to get it back. But when I'm paying money to get my hair back that I might not actually get it back for, it's quite cruel in a way. And there is a treatment that a lovely woman is having at the moment, and she's called Zara Lena Jackson. You might have heard of her. She does eyebrow tattoos, which are unbelievable. She's pays, I think it's £1,000 or something a month to get this treatment that she's getting. It's worked unbelievably and it's amazing. But luckily for her, she was on TV, she can afford it. A normal daily human being cannot afford £1,000 a
Yeah,
month.
doesn't have £1,000 a month. No. And I think it's just that assumption that because it's hair, it's cosmetic, and that doesn't quantify. So for me, say you got, I don't know, if you had three toes chopped off, that's not life
Yeah.
threatening, but they would still stitch it up. They would still give you what you needed. They would still make an artificial toe if you couldn't walk, and that would all be provided. So it's just that kind of that thing that people think this is a cosmetic issue, and it's not. So if there's somebody listening here and they have just started to lose the hair and they're a teenager, like, what words have you got for them? What would you say to them?
I would say it's happening. It's gonna happen. You can't stop it. As rubbish as it is, you can't stop it, unfortunately. Embrace it. If you want to wear a wig, wear a wig. If you don't want to wear a wig, don't wear a wig. You want to socialise it, socialise it. You don't, you don't. It's completely up to you. You're your own person. Just make sure you've got so many people behind you. It's not embarrassing. It's not something to be ashamed of. You're still you. As much as you think you're losing your identity like I did, you haven't. As things it sound, you've lost your hair. It may grow back again, it may not. It's unpredictable, but just don't ever lose hope. Don't ever put yourself down, because there will always be someone who will support you, and you're beautiful no matter what.
That was lovely. Where can the listeners find out more about Ashton? Where can they go to find you and be supported by you?
So I am on Instagram, and my Instagram's at Ashton Mays Journey underscore, and my TikTok is at Ashton Telford 56. And if you want to research a bit more, I have done a podcast with BBC Radio Cumbria, and I have been on ITV News, which I've done a thing on that. And I had no hair. I was confident enough to go on ITV border with no hair, so anyone can do it. And just a bit of that, I've been in magazines just like Cumbria Life and newspapers and things like that, which you probably won't be able to find. Or what you can do is you can just type my name in on Google, and it'll all come up, because it's all linked. So, and I'm always open. I read my messages every day, and I'll never ignore you.
I can vouch for
Yeah.
that. Yeah, you're very, you do respond. You're a wonderful human. Thank you so much for being here, dear Ashton, and I really look forward to seeing you very soon back in the
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. Like you said, it's a bit of therapy.
salon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Hair Boss, Not Hair Loss podcast. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation and found some advice, some positivity and some inspiration. Head to the show notes for more information and follow the podcast to keep up to date with future episodes.